What's up, guys? This is our 400th episode. Dan Free.
Yeah.
So his PO said he couldn't be on because we're talking about teens, and you know how that goes. So
yes,
we wish him the best. But as you all know, this is Flesh Wound Horror. We're about to talk one of my favorite series. But before we do that, let's introduce everybody. So we got here, Mr. Todd. Say hello.
What's up?
All right. We got Kruger.
What's up, you sick motherfuckers?
And a very special guest from the Blood Brothers Horror Podcast, Mr. Chris.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up?
And I am Pugs Dread. I might be the biggest Scream fan here. We'll find out, because that's what we're about to talk about. So where would you gentlemen like to start? Shall I kick it off, or should Kruger or Chris? Let's have Chris do it, since he's our guest.
Sure. Where do you guys want to kick off? You want to rank them from...
Well, just like, you know, your general thoughts, I guess, on the series. Like, I know Pug will have a little bit more on that one.
Yeah, like how what does Scream mean to you as far as, you know, just being a horror fan? How much do you love this franchise, that type of stuff?
I think Scream came along at the perfect time in horror, when horror was taking a big downturn. Some of the slashers had become parodies of themselves and came out right at the right time. Then it kicked off a bunch of, you know, imitations, but... it really was a shot of life back into horror.
Yeah, started the second wave of slashers.
Yeah, actually, yeah, absolutely. And it was the first ones to really be meta. Like, these kids were us. They grew up in video stores and watching cable TV, and they've seen every horror movie. So it was, they kind of felt like we were them.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially in this generation of horror. Now we get so many references to older horror movies, and I feel like Scream is kind of the one that, you know, made that okay.
Yep.
And just being a younger fan of Scream, you know, I grew up with the franchise. The first movie actually, you know, came out the year of my birth, so I grew up with this shit, and fucking I love Damn. Scream. I've always enjoyed the hell out of the series, and it's, you know, done by Mr. fucking Wes Craven, who is, you know, my favorite horror director of all time, and has also made my favorite horror movie of all time, which is Nightmare on Elm Street. So I gotta love the franchise. And the fact that Wes Craven was able to pull off just not even just, you know, Nightmare on Elm Street and Scream, but, you know, just all the other shit he did. Like, it's just, it's amazing that he was able to literally make a hit horror film and almost a horror franchise in every single decade of, you know, 70s, 80s, and 90s. And I just think that's mind-blowing that, you know, the guy had the talent to do that. I mean, granted, he had an amazing script, though, written for him. And so, yeah, what'd you think of, like you said, Pugs, you're one of the biggest fans of Scream. So what does the series mean to you?
Real quick, before Pugs jumps in there, I know Pugs felt old when you said the year you were born. Think of this, Pugs. I graduated high school 2 years before this came out.
Holy crap.
I got you beat. I graduated 3 years before it came out. So I was 21 when it came out.
Well, I was in the sixth grade.
Still is.
And yeah, mentally for sure. And I like, it's funny because when the movie was getting announced and like all the trailers were coming out, I was like, oh, this looks cool. Like, I didn't know about the turmoil and stuff. And then I saw it around Christmas. I'm like, this movie's awesome. And I didn't think anything of it. But like throughout the year, I was like, oh, I love this movie. This movie's really good. And I can't wait to own it. And that the following Halloween, everybody's fucking Ghostface.
Everybody. Like,
where the fuck were you people when I was like, you guys should check this out? I mean, it did have legs, and box office legs, because like when it came out, they thought it was like going to be a flop because it only did like $30 million or something like that, right?
Yeah, it was word of mouth.
Yeah.
It started picking up steam, and kind of like Halloween did back in 78.
And I love my white face killer. So like Scream, Ghostface is a shit. And like you said, Kruger, Wes Craven, proven master of horror. And like he originally passed on this. He's like, I don't want to do this. I don't really know if I want to kill another bunch of teens. And then some punk ass kids like, when are you going to make another badass movie? He's like, fuck you.
He went back and went home and called him back and said, okay, I'll do it.
Yeah. So then, you know, that's all history from there. Yeah, I absolutely adore this franchise. I don't really think it has a bad entry. It has like lower quality entry, but it's not bad. But we'll get there. What about you, Mr. Todd? What do you think of this franchise?
Yeah, I'm with you. The one thing I was going to ask you, looking at your mask, though, do you remember the mask before the movie?
The mask? Oh, like just seeing it in Halloween stores and stuff? No.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I do.
Yeah, same here. That's why
I walked into I think it was a Payless drugstore when drugstores used to be like the place to go to. Dude. And I remember that first year Fun World came out with those Fantastic Faces.
Yeah.
And I remember that one. So when they revealed it in the movie, I thought, that's perfect.
That must have been so cool. Like, it was, holy shit.
Yeah, I saw those. When I first saw them, they looked like something out of like the Haunted Mansion or something. Yeah. And then when they revealed it in the movie, when they revealed it in the movie, I'm like, it's perfect. It's so indistinct, unisex, like you can't, but it's perfect.
And it was found randomly at the house they were going to shoot at.
Scouting location, it had been in some other movies. Yeah, and it was just hanging in the kid had moved out, but they saw their son's room there. It was like on the bedpost.
It was, and it's just like it's meant to be. But it's cool you mentioned the Haunted Mansion because the original design came from the Haunted Mansion. They stole it from them. They made the three, the Wailer, the Screamer, the...
There was a couple different ones with fangs and different, but that...
Yeah.
Yeah, so
and it ties in. I mean, they changed the name of the movie to Scream, but the mask and the title are just they're synonymous now. I mean,
Bob Weinstein made that call.
Yeah,
and
they didn't like it at first.
No, they did not. And I'm going to fucking die. What is this deal?
He's got COVID.
You're excited.
I think that's it. You were saying they were getting dailies back at the office in New York, and they're like, what are you guys doing? This looks like shit. Ghostface isn't scary. And then they're like, let us shoot the first 15 minutes, and we'll edit it together, and we'll send it to you.
Rough cut, yeah.
After they did that, Bob Weinstein called again. He's like, you know what? You're doing a good job. I'll leave you alone. My bad.
Yeah, and they wanted the costume to be white, you know, to fall with the ghost name, and they finally changed it to black, which works so much better.
And had the first cloak has little sparkly things. I fucking
yeah, it's
it.
A little
it's cool as shit. So I fucking I can blow this movie all day. So shall we start ranking?
Yeah. Let's just get right in. Okay. What order are we gonna do these? We didn't go over that.
Let's go from best to worst. Or
no, I meant like order of us.
Oh, let's go Chris, Krueger, you, me.
Okay. Works for me.
Sounds good. From best to worst, obviously number one, the original. Number two, number four, and then number three. That's just my preference of as far as what I like in them.
All right.
Okay.
Sounds cool. Krueger.
And then my number one is obviously the original. I mean, fucking, it's just a masterpiece. Then I got number four, I love number four. It's got such good kills, and it was, you know, one of Wes's last movies, and I'm always going to hold it dear to my heart. I got to see it in theaters. It was actually the first Scream I got to see in theaters. Then I got Scream 2, which actually didn't hold up for me as well as I thought it was going to. And then in last place, I got the fucking abomination of Scream 3. Along with Courtney Cox's shitty bangs.
That's the worst part of the movie.
That alone.
I'll tell you guys what. When I go over the order, we'll do. We'll talk more in depth about each movie. So
okay.
Word.
Well, yes, because I had stuff to say, so I'll save it. Mine is, of course, the first one, followed by the fourth one. Now, here's where it gets kind of. I'm probably going to be the only one. Then I'm three. And then I'm two. My order has changed on reviewing.
Huh. Right on.
Okay.
All right. Well, across the board here, everyone here's favorite's number one.
Absolutely.
And so let's talk about that a little bit because that movie's fucking awesome. It has the best cast, the best killers. Well, I fucking love Stu.
Yeah. You already tipped your hand for the next one.
True. But like Stu is just a good time all his lines, because like I believe he's crazy, and I believe he's kind of in love with Billy, and he'll do whatever he wants.
He just looks like he's having a good time. Like he, you know, it just looks like he enjoyed himself thoroughly. What they accomplished.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and then
the thing about the. I just wanted to say, you know, more on the first Scream, like just the, I mean, it definitely has the best fucking kills out of the whole franchise, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And like, not only does it have the best kill, it's like the chase scenes are so fucking goddamn good in that movie. Like, I feel like that was kind of the one, I feel like the first Scream was kind of the horror movie that made me realize how much I love a good chase scene.
Fuck yeah. Well, dude, like it opens so angrily. Like I fall in love with Drew Barrymore just because she's a horror fan. And you know, she's just a fucking cute girl making popcorn. And then she has to deal with this bullshit. Now I'm also loving the dude on the phone because he's asking her about horror movies. I'm like, all right, he ain't too
bad. It starts off innocent. It starts off like, and again, being those kids that grew up with video stores and stuff, you got the blue TV in the back, so you know the TV's fired up and the VCR's ready to go. And, you know, it starts off with that classic, not that she was a babysitter, but a girl home alone. Mm-hmm. Very, you know, very innocently. And the guy's kind of flirting with her, and you know, until it takes a turn. You know, it was great.
Yep. And then it's so violent. Like, there's a full-blown gutting scene. And then the way they zoom in, it's masterful.
My favorite part, I'll tell you guys this next time you watch it, and it's so subtle, and it's one of not just my favorite in this movie, in all of horror, is when he says, I want to know who I'm looking at, and the music changes, and she kind of gets that look on her eyes, but the sound editing, they put a dog barking, like her dog or a dog in the background, right when she like thinks someone's on her property, that dog barks. And it was just the timing on that. I still love it. And I, every time I see that, that's just my favorite opening scene.
I agree. Todd, do you have anything to say about the opening scene?
Well, again, I'm trying not to spoil other stuff we got coming, but yeah, it's fucking awesome. I mean, it was a big deal at the time. I mean, basically it was Janet Leigh all over again.
Red herring.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that was a big deal. And I don't even, and it was one of those things where now if you did it, you'd know the night it opened, the night before it opened, you'd know. Now, then it was like, you could pull that off and actually, you know, do it. She, if you look at the poster, she's the biggest one on it.
Yeah. You think it's a horror movie with Drew Barrymore. So, okay. In the beginning, this guy's going to scare her or attack her and she's going to fight him the whole movie.
Yeah.
Alfred Hitchcock style.
Yeah.
And I'm sure I didn't at the time, but you guys being older than us, you guys caught the Halloween reference?
Mm-hmm. Which, well, now...
The line? Chris, go ahead.
Which line?
Oh, yeah. When she gives Casey's mom the keys and says, drive down.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead.
McKenzie's? Right? That was the name?
Yeah. But McKenzie's is the safest house in every neighborhood, I've guessed, because it's been in a few movies.
Yeah. I thought that was pretty cool.
Well, then there's tons of obvious ones, Billy Loomis and other stuff like that.
I was going to go with the subtle. Yeah,
Well, that's why I was asking which one.
And there's also, like, I don't want to know about Scream 5, but there's a character named Sam in there and Wes. I'm like, okay, cool. Hope we got Samuel. And then, you know, it has to be Wes Craven.
Right.
Kruger, you're about to say something?
No, I was just gonna move on to like Scream 4 since we all had that pretty much as our second one.
Well, let's continue with the first Scream for a little bit because I do want to talk about the last scene in the house.
Scene 180.
Scene 180.
Which apparently, is a third of the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a nightmare to shoot, but they got through it, and I'm just very impressed by it. Again, it just shows how mean Wes Craven can be, and he's like, "Oh!" And then all the edits that they had to do to get it by to get a fucking R rating. When they finally, Bob finally had a call and say, "Like, yeah, it's a parody, so hook us up."
That's what changed their mind. Yeah, they like, changed some stuff, and Wes lied to him and said he did change some stuff, what he didn't. But yeah, finally Bob had to call him and say, "We're making fun of these movies. These kids know about these movies. It's a parody," and they apparently that worked.
And from then on, all the other Scream movies he shot, he put in extra gory stuff just so he could take it out and make his own cut. So he thought ahead. He's a fucking genius. Okay, so my second movie is Scream 4. So Krueger, take it away.
Just Scream 4, I don't know. Like during that time period, I was so fucking done with Scream after Scream 3. And like, honestly, like looking back, Scream 3 isn't as bad as, you know, I remember it being, but just it soured me pretty hard on the franchise for a bit. And then 4 came along and, you know, it just, the kills were so fucking brutal in that movie. It had that brutality the first film had. It was angry again, and like all the callbacks too to the first film. And it was almost like, you know, you didn't need to watch any of the other Scream sequels. You could have just went, you know, one straight to 4. And I don't know. I love that appeal to it. And just, it was just, like you said, Pugs, I think you said it best. It was fucking mean again. And I think that's always my thing, is when slasher franchises start to lose me is when they kind of lose that grit. And for Wes to bring it back was really impressive, you know.
It could have very easily slipped. I mean, was it 11 years between 3 and 4?
Yes.
Yeah, and it felt like they passed the torch, like, now these new set of kids, these new set of high school kids, we still have our recurring characters, but they kind of passed the torch on, and these new set of kids were involved. And each movie has, you know, the first one's a scary movie, the second one's a sequel, the third one's the rules of a trilogy, and the fourth one was like rules of a reboot, you know? So they always follow this kind of formula, which anyone that's watched, not even horror movies, just movies, you understand sequels, trilogies, reboots, etc. And you're right. That brutality was it did. It reminded me a lot of the first one, like no holds barred.
When Ghostface was tearing that chick up, like Freddy Krueger did to what's her name? Not Nancy.
Tina.
Thank you, Tina. Like honestly, couldn't you see that being like almost similar? I'm like, he's back. He's doing it. He's fucking them up. Yeah. Four is awesome. I don't have a problem with remakes. But when she drops the line, "Don't fuck with the original," I'm like, how can you not applaud? That's so good.
Yeah.
I was lucky enough to go to the premiere. I got to meet Courtney Cox, who's fucking gorgeous in person. Like, the camera does not do her justice. And then, it was just a fun time at the Grauman's Chinese Theater. Nice. Todd, do you have anything about 4?
You know, you guys pretty much hit 4. The whole reboot thing. I have issues, but the fourth is probably the least one I have. It felt like a passing of the torch, but it really wasn't. And I think that's my only real complaint about it.
Okay.
I'll say my other thoughts to the end of the whole, when we're done with the franchise.
All right. Well, my third favorite is actually Scream 2. So, Chris, you want to take that one? Oh, Krueger.
Yeah. Scream 2. I know it didn't age well, but at the time I thought it was really exciting to see all the characters back, how they had moved on. They had gone to college. I love that opening scene in the theater where they're watching Stab. They're watching the movie of her story. Yeah. I didn't like Jada Pinkett. To me, she's one of the most annoying in the whole series. She was so aggressive and just,
and
that
real
opening
life,
scene.
Ask
yeah.
Will Smith.
Exactly. But I do love that opening scene. I think if she wasn't in it, it would have been that much better, but
what if she would have went
that
first?
Opening.
If she would have went first, would that have been better?
No, I like the idea that that Omar was killed in the restroom, and he came back, and when she touched him, you know, she found out the blood and stuff, and then they thought it was a publicity stunt that she went up on stage and keeled over dead, all slashed up. But I like dropping in on Sid in college, and she's going to school with Randy, and they have some new friends, and, you know, Gail and Dewey show back up after the murders, you know, so they're kind of all reunited pretty close in the first act.
Yeah, and for me too, like, throughout the years, I always, Scream 2 was always my second favorite. But upon my rewatch, it didn't hold up for me at all, man. Like, it feels super hokey. Especially in the cafeteria singing scene. Oh. Like, I'm just like,
they could have skipped that. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I'm like, you, bro, what the fuck? And then there was, I'm trying to think.
Real quick, Kruger, do you get that reference or does that go over your head?
No, it goes over my head. So
that's lifted exactly from Top Gun. That's the big thing at Top Gun.
Yeah, it's the big. Yeah.
I don't like Top Gun.
So. I'm with you.
But like, I do like Top Gun, but even at that point, like that's an old reference, and he's not in the movie class. He shouldn't give a fuck.
Yeah, that was my thing. He wasn't Mickey, the movie guy, or you know, it was just her boyfriend. So I'm like, that's kind of an older reference, even for them being, you know, 18,
unless
19
I missed
years old.
It and that's like her favorite movie and we don't know.
Or his favorite movie. But yeah, it was unnecessary. You
know, everyone his age
has seen Top Gun. And not even just like if it was only for like, you know, a minute, that would be one thing. That shit's fucking long. Yeah. Like sitting here, I'm like, what are we doing here, guys?
I did like Cotton coming back and trying to be like a, you know, trying to gain some celebrity from his false imprisonment.
No, see, Cotton is my favorite part of that movie, actually.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's honest to God why I fucking hate 3 so much. Because you know he gets taken out right at the beginning.
It was a good one.
Back on 2 though, real quick, the fucking opening I thought is so good. Like especially the bathroom scene. Mm-hmm. You know, I enjoyed the fuck out of that.
And it lives up to the stereotype that they have to go first.
Yes.
And there was no phone involved as like the other 3 movies. It was in person in a crowded theater.
Mm-hmm. Well, we knew it was different killers, so they're going to be a little different.
Yeah.
Todd?
This one I always liked, and I still like elements about it, but it has not aged well, as Kruger said. It definitely feels like a late 90s film. I think, you know, a lot of it has to do with, you know, as it's widely known, that it had to get changed. Mm-hmm. Because the script
leaked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That pissed Wes Craven off, and I rarely see him get mad.
Well, yeah, it's just one. I tried. Yeah, it just dropped down on that. I mean, I feel like Timothy Oliphant was like wasted in the movie, and that doesn't. And normally he kills in everything he's in. Mm-hmm. I guess
he was wasted. Then he turns out to be the killer. It wasn't. Right. Yeah.
He goes away for far too long. Like I want to.
He's in the background a lot, and it's like once you see it and watch it again, you're like, duh, he's not around most of the time. He pops up here and there.
It's kind of obvious.
Yeah. What'd you guys think about Billy's mom being back?
I was gonna say I do like that little twist with Billy's mom.
I remember the first time watching it, I didn't realize how they kept Sydney away from her the entire time. And when she popped in, I was like, oh shit, they haven't interacted.
But didn't they say she lost a lot of weight and had like a makeover, so she might not have recognized her anyway.
Yeah.
But I like
especially if she's just creeping around places. She's not gonna jump out.
In a group of reporters and investigating stuff. I like that hers was revenge. And Mickey's was he wanted to be famous. Like he wanted to.
It's all about
you
the
know. Billy and Stu wanted to be survivors and tell their story and become famous. He wanted to become famous that he was a killer. And that reminds me of Danny Rawling, who the Gainesville Ripper, who Kevin Williamson based Scream on.
Yes.
He wanted to be famous like Bundy and Dahmer, you know, the way he.
I wish
people's heads off and posed them and stuff.
Yeah, I wish Ghostface had did that at least once.
Yeah, and then that's kind of what Mickey reminded me of. It's like he wanted to do these grotesque things, and he wanted to be a famous serial killer along with, you know, Bundy and Dahmer and Gacy and all them.
Yeah.
So that was interesting. That tied into, you know, the Gainesville Ripper.
I do still dig the the, you know, you guys mentioned Stab, the reenaction bits of it where you get to see little, you know, Heather Graham and them doing stuff from the original.
It was directed by who?
Oh, shit. I don't even.
Robert Rodriguez.
Oh, that's
he
right.
Didn't direct it, but they said it's his movie. That. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, makes sense. Another Weinstein guy. Yeah. I do remember the I remember. I didn't say which Weinstein.
Well,
the good one? I don't know. Yeah.
He'll come up in the third one.
Oh, yes.
But yeah, the mom channeling her inner Friday the 13th to get revenge for her kid. I think that's fucking genius. I liked Mickey. I just wish we had more of him. I think two's awesome.
I think it's
there's no memorable kills besides Randy, and that's a big issue. Like, all the kills are pretty fucking basic.
And I think that kill kind of screwed up the rest of the series, which I'll get to.
Yeah.
The Randy one? I thought it was smart.
No, I don't have a problem with killing Randy. Okay. I think they lost their balls after that because they wouldn't.
This is after Columbine. Three was affected by Columbine.
No, I mean lost their balls by the fact they wouldn't kill any of their main characters.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
I think that was shocking. I thought we thought they won't do that. They won't do that. Then they did.
Yeah.
But after that, the rest of the movie, that was almost the high point. Like, oh shit, they killed Randy. But you're right. There's no memorable kills.
There's one gnarly kill, but it's a car accident that goes through that detective's head, the pipe. I'm like, that's not really a
that's the only the suspenseful part is where they're climbing out of the cage in the back, trying not to wake him up. He's like, crawl across the killer who's unconscious. That was, I mean, I enjoyed that part, but he said the whole overall it didn't age well.
Yeah,
I still love it. But shall we get?
I do. I enjoy it. I enjoy it. I just
it's my least favorite.
Okay, number three, the Columbine affected number three, Krueger.
Yeah.
Let me just start by saying, like, I'm one of those guys that I just fucking hate that goddamn voice changer shit, bro. Like, it's for a movie that's, you know, fair, like, supposed to be based on some sort of reality, like, that aspect is just fucking dumb as shit to me. And, like, it was way too hokey. And it's fucking stupid because, you know, the whole Scream franchise, you know, kind of is hokey. But just that was just a level of, like, I was, it didn't work for me at all. And that whole movie, like, I hate who the killer ends up being. It makes no sense. And then it retcons the fucking goddamn first movie. And I'm never a fan when shit does that, really, to be honest. Like, the only retcons I kind of even enjoy are, like, the Halloween ones, to be quite frank. And, yeah, it just, my opinion over the years has not changed at all. It's still my least favorite. But it does have one good explosion kill. That's all I'm going to give it.
Explosion kill.
And a fax machine.
I think, you know, it had that trilogy tacked on it now. So what did Randy say if outside characters connect to the original story? What Krueger was talking about. But they changed it so much that, you know, this guy became the puppet master and for Billy and Stu. It just, I agree with him. It was just, It was kind of novel seeing the characters and then the actors that play them, you know, kind of going through the movie together, but that wore thin pretty quick.
One other thing I wanted to say too before you go, Pugs, is just Sydney is lame as shit in that movie. Like, for such a cool final girl, Sydney in part three, I think, is just she's not really the same Sydney we see in the rest of the franchise. And I kind of understood where they were going with, you know, with the, you know, she's a abuse counselor and stuff like that. But even at that it didn't add any really good elements to her character at all. And I was kind of like, where's the old Sid?
Well, wasn't that based on she lost her boyfriend? I mean, she was like super in love with them, and that kind of like
that
changed her. But she was also, I mean, it's still
she was still filming Party of Five, and she only wanted to do 3 weeks of shooting. So they accommodated her. And also, this is the first one Kevin Williamson didn't write. So they were just doing shit on the fly. So I think with all that bullshit they had to go through, I still think it's pretty confident. And I'm just a sucker for it. I don't mind the only part I did not like, let me start over. I don't mind that it was her brother and he was the director of the whole series.
The new Stab movie or whatever.
Yeah. But no. Of like, he directed Billy Loomis to kill and then all directed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, he didn't have to full blown say, I'm a director, Sid. I'm like, that's shut up. You know, you have subtlety, Stu. Learn it.
I didn't like Randy's sister like flying all the way out to, or coming all the way out to LA just to deliver a videotape. Like, that was kind of out of place and weird.
It's a little important, and like, FedEx wasn't
the tape, but
we had priority mail back then.
Yeah,
like, yeah, but she has to make sure, because, like, you know, shit gets lost in the mail.
Dupes. And Randy case, didn't have two VCRs.
And in case we need her for another movie,
no.
She might bring her back later.
There is one scene, though, that I really like, even though this one's, you know, kind of the lowest for all of us, is where Sid was being chased through the movie sets.
Yeah.
And she was kind of having flashbacks of, you know, sounds and things in her head and her bedroom from when she, in the first movie. I really like that. And the killer had her mom's body bag on. That was a really cool scene.
Yeah.
But in another rise, just kind of average movie.
Also, the dream sequence, bro. That dream sequence is so fucking out of place.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just like, what the fuck is this? Some Nightmare on Elm Street shit.
Yeah.
Wes Craven said, he's like, I'm trying not to do this, but he felt it was right at the time. And, like, I thought it was pretty cool. It reminded me of Salem's Lot, where you knock at the window. But,
yeah.
I was going to say, Wes Craven also likes his victims or his characters to be born of rape, because Michael Krueger, Freddy Krueger was a rape baby of a bastard son of a thousand maniacs, and now so is Roman, who I'm pretty sure is named after Polanski, is also a product of a fucking rape party.
Yeah, the casting couch rape party kind of thing.
I'm sure that was the producer's decision, but I totally lost it. God damn it. Okay. Well, no, that's fine. Son of a bitch. Well, it'll probably come back to me, but I'm just going to go right away. Like, I have 100% flipped on this. The movie's not good, but it's almost a Scooby-Doo episode, and I love Scooby-Doo.
It is.
And that's, I think, watching it this time, and I'm just, like, having fun with it helped. And, you know, since the day it happened, I've been saying, this is the Harvey Weinstein-produced biopic. So that helps if you think of that part. But, I mean, it's not good. And, yes, it does do all these things wrong. But leading back to the Scooby-Doo is the voice changer is so, you know, Scooby-Doo villain. And then you have the unmasking. Yeah. So is it? It almost becomes a parody of the series.
Because he didn't write them, and it kind of felt like someone, which they did, tried to write. It's like, make a Scream movie, and you got to hit all these marks. You got to hit all, you know, we have a checklist, and you're right. It ends up being a Scooby-Doo movie, not a Scream movie.
I would have liked to have seen the original script. Is that out there anywhere, or like the original idea that they had? Because I've never seen
it. I was going to ask you that, and I don't know. I've never really looked that far into three, because, like I said, I've never been a huge fan. But like I said, it's moved up a notch, so I didn't expect that.
You know what's a scene, though, that makes me almost turn it off every single fucking time?
Jay and Silent Bob.
No, actually, dude, that's actually one of the fucking high points.
Yeah, I like that. Which makes it Scooby-Doo-ish.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're totally right on the Scooby-Doo vibe. But the one part that just bothers the fuck out of me is when fucking Ghostface is at the bottom of the staircase and Dewey's at the top of the staircase.
Oh God!
He chucks the knife. And it fucking hits him handle first and knocks him out. I'm just like, bro, you got me fucked up right
because they lost their balls to kill characters after they killed last one.
It just looks so bad, though. Kruger's right. I mean, it's just all, and then it hits him. I mean, the way it just, you're right. I don't see a way they could have filmed it where it'll look better. He might have just hit him over the head or something.
Yeah. I think David Arquette's addiction problem was getting out of control at this point. So, like, his performance was already phoned the fuck in, and his knockout fucking cell was terrible, just like his wrestling.
I know in the one of the original ideas, they wanted the actress playing Sid. Again, they wanted two killers again. They wanted the director Roman and that the young. And they kind of hint at it through the film, but they never they hinted at the detective that it might be him, kind of, and but they didn't pull it off as well they've done in other movies.
I wish they would have let... I like two killers. I hope we get three at a certain point, but... Because, like, the more the merrier. Let's try that, because one dude doing all that shit...
Or, like, a group. Like, imagine just, like, a group, and, like, they're in on it the whole time, and everybody's just like, what the fuck?
Well, that like, that show with Kevin Bacon... Was it Cults or whatever that was going to be a screen movie? The Following, that was supposed to be them, like a cult based around Ghostface, but he had to change it so they can get it for Fox because that was one of his ideas for a sequel. Also, random note, from Scream 1 to Scream 3 takes place about 3 years, 3 or 4 years, and they already made two movies. That's unrealistic. But that's crazy. That's a 3-year gap, 3-year timeline. Like, that's a lot of shit for a girl to go through.
What I was gonna say earlier, that it came back to me, this movie came out now, it'd get canceled for slut shaming because her mom was a whore.
Her mom was even if they had the actress be in on it with Roman and somehow she got away, that hadn't been seen before.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't find out it was her, but she got away, and the audience were like, oh shit, she was a killer too, but she got, I mean, that at least would have been less Scooby-Doo-ish, I guess, or you know what I mean? It's something different we hadn't seen before.
Maybe that'll be the fifth one. I'm the producer, blah, blah, blah. Okay, cool. So we went over all the movies, and you know, minus the one hiccup, because I think we all like 1 and 4. I think we all love across the board, but yeah. 3 and 2, interchangeable. Some of us don't think it's that bad. Some of us think it's garbage, but I think they're all enjoyable, and you can watch them all anytime.
Like, as far as quality wise, it's definitely fucking one of the, you know, more consistent franchises. Like, there's like, even though I don't like 3, I won't call 3 complete dog shit. It's still watchable, you know what I mean? So
if 3 is your low point in all of your movies so far, you're doing okay. There's other franchises that have some you're like, oh crap, you know. So I agree.
Well, I'm at 50-50, so I'm kind of like,
okay,
2 really good ones, 2
All right.
You know, no Nightmare on Elm Street 5s, though, so we're good.
All right, let's get to our favorite kill of the franchise. Let's start with Chris.
You know, I want to say Drew Barrymore because that's my favorite scene, but I think I'm going to go out on a limb in part 2. I really like Cece's kill. That was a good chase scene through the sorority house, being alone. Everyone was on the other side of campus. And again, it was brutal, stabbing her and then throwing her off the balcony.
Dude, yeah, he just lands.
What's that?
That thump when she lands.
Oh yeah, I like the 1 and 4 where the girls were watching a movie, and they kind of faked it. They thought he was in the closet. That was close. It was either that one or Cece, but being thrown off the balcony, and like you guys said, it's a good chase. That chase through the sorority house and up and down the stairs and back and forth, and he finally gets her and throws her off, was just brutal.
Fuck yeah.
So that's my favorite kill.
All right. Mr. Krueger?
So mine is the garage kill from the first movie.
Nice.
Just goddamn, man. Like, it's brutal as fuck. It fucked me up as a kid. Like, I could not, like, I was so scared of garage doors. You have no fucking idea. Just because, you know, garage doors usually have that sensor, but like, just that, I don't know, just how realistic that kill looked, and watching that as a child fucked me up and totally made me scared of garage doors for a good portion of my life.
And she was just hanging there the rest of the film, you know, she was hanging up there.
Yeah, I love that. And I also just
cold as fuck.
Well, and the prosthetic looks so fucking goddamn good. Like,
yeah,
it's super realistic looking. And yeah, it's one of the best kills, honestly, in any horror movie ever, to be honest.
So this was actually before I saw I Spit on Your Grave, so I did not get the I Spit on Your Garage reference. Years later,
oh like, yeah,
that's fucking cool.
Yeah,
I would have preferred Last Garage on the Left, but we'll just go with.
Hey,
he's not one to stroke his own ego.
I know, but I think it would have been an inside reference.
Todd, your favorite kill, or you want me to go?
No, I'll go real quick. I mean, I went back and forth, and now I'm not going to try to overlap anyone else. I'm going to go with the first kill. I do like the Drew Barrymore.
Absolutely.
One. Awesome. Okay. My favorite kill of the entire series is actually not a Ghostface kill. It's when Sydney pushes the TV over on Stu's head.
Yes.
That's the way I want to go out in a horror movie. If
did
you
he
wanna,
die?
Yeah.
Well, ooh, that's the
did
question.
Did he die Dave. Part five? Huh?
I hope not. See. I hope not. That's all I'm saying. What was the TV kill we had? Like, there's no arguing. We just watched.
Oh, we watched the Mortuary Collection.
Okay, yeah, that had the TV death. You can't
TV
argue.
On the last segment, you get the POV inside the screen and that's watch the totally fucking person's face get crushed by it. Insanity. But obviously inspired by that Scream kill, and yeah, I got that fucking on my honorable mentions.
Yeah, that was mine. And then if it has to be Ghostface, I can't. The way the first one opens, and he stabs Steve, he guts Steve, he stabs Drew Barrymore, and he guts her and hangs her in the fucking by the swing that we saw earlier in the movie. That's just
Yeah.
So was this the first time you saw the uncut of the opening? I know Krueger was, but I don't.
Yes.
Okay.
No, I haven't, because I did see it.
It was on VHS, Laserdisc back in the day. It just never made it to it never made it to DVD. Mm-hmm. But yeah, even that little bit with the guts falling out.
Gravity.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so mean and brutal. That's fucking amazing.
The way they first cut that, the boyfriend scene looked a little. Like what happened? You know, you see his guts out, but it looked like he died right then and there. Like someone was behind him. It was a little,
it had
but
steam.
The full scene when the,
but
it's great. Opening scene.
Do any of you guys have any honorable mentions? Cause I got fucking one for sure. And that's the stab to the forehead on the cop in Scream.
Oh yeah.
Fucking,
and he's half alive.
Yeah. And he's just fucking, he's doing the Terry Funk, right? You know, he's fucking punching nobody and shit. And like the fact that Wes had that kill in that movie because he heard about that story when somebody got stabbed in the head and they walked home and then ended up dying, you know, later on. So they were like ended up, you know, going home, pretty much went to sleep and then died. That scene is just fucking badass. And also the defibrillator to the brain. It's not really a kill because she comes back, but Sydney's cousin getting the defibrillator to the fucking head was badass in part four as well.
Clear. Yeah. Yeah, that's just cool as fuck.
What about what's his name in part four where his webcam was on backwards? He's going like this, and then he sees Ghostface, and like he realizes I'm back, so he turns around and gets. That was a good one,
yeah,
too.
That's awesome.
You know what? I kind of botched. We were supposed to do favorite opening before favorite kill.
It's all good.
I'm pretty sure we're all the same. Is one everyone's favorite opening?
Yeah.
Yes. Absolutely. Correct.
Okay. Well, there we go.
So across the board, even the
favorite opening done.
That's one.
All right. Well, I have another one. I feel might be a sweep too. So let's just go straight to it. Pugs.
Favorite Scream killers. Ghostface. So, that's fine. Chris, what say you?
Again, we're going back to the original one. I like before three came in and kind of changed the motive and one. I just think Billy and Stu were Billy was the brains behind it, and like we said, Stu was just having a ball. Mm-hmm. It was great. Four had a good twist on it too. But
I wish Kirby would have been a killer. I would have been
that would have been great. Yeah.
That would have changed probably my vote. But yeah, what about you, Mr. Kruger?
At first, I actually had Charlie and Jill as my favorite killers, but upon my rewatch of the series, Billy and Stuart fucking this shit. Like, Stu, just the, you know, his insanity and but the one thing I will say about Billy and Stuart is Billy gets caught pretty fucking fast if you think about it. Like, that motherfucker fucking was not that good at hiding his tracks.
No, not really. He always had that, like, yeah, I probably did it because look at me, I'm psycho, but I'm handsome so I can get away with it.
Yeah.
But they tricked you. They're like, oh yeah, look, the cell phone fell out of his pocket and they arrested him, and then it comes back and he's like, I couldn't have called you. You know, he had the ink on his, you know, so they tricked you right there. So then they show him getting killed, and you're like, oh shit, it wasn't him. They're just trying to fool us. And then they fooled you again by going, hey, it really was.
And that turn with a fucking horror movie knowledge drop bomb on us. Fuck yeah. I do like how they tried to tell us the old sheriff guy might be the killer with the boots. I'm like, come on, guy. That old man ain't moving that fucking fast.
Yeah.
Todd?
Yeah, Billy and Stu. I almost said Billy and Chuck, which is totally different. Billy and Stu.
Best friends forever. I had a sign at that pay-per-view, and I was on TV. That was funny. For me also, it's, I'll say Stu and Billy, because I prefer Stu. He's
me too. Co-sign.
Have you guys ever gone back and figured out who was who?
No.
Like, this kill was, if you do it, you can do it in all the movies really, but you go back and go, well, so-and-so's here, so it has to be this one in this scene.
Oh, yeah.
You know, go back the next time you watch any of them and try to figure out.
Number,
you know,
four will be tricky for me, because both those killers are super fucking tiny. And Ghostface is tall. So like that one, I can't, I probably won't, but like one and two, I probably will.
Yeah.
So across the board.
All right. Now here, before I throw the graphic up, is it favorite Ghostface line or favorite Scream line? Because I have one of both.
Let's do both then.
Okay. Well,
everybody's ready.
All right. Well, then I'm just going to do this.
Yeah, I got both.
Ah, shoot. All right, well, there. That's what it says now, so close enough.
Cool. Perfect. All right. Mr. Chris?
I like Sid's line in the first one, where, you know, Randy's like, now is when the killer pops back up to give us one last, and he does, and she shoots him. And what does she say? It's not in my movie?
Not in my movie.
What that was it? Just, I mean, that was a badass, like, because he did. He did exactly what Randy said. He popped up, and she just finished him. He didn't do anything. He died instantly. So I like that. And Ghostface, I try not to go with the obvious one. Who does he say I left on the cutting room floor? That was a good one.
In three?
Is it three or was it in four?
I don't remember.
I think I'll have to go with that. I mean, obviously, what's your favorite scary movie? But I like that one where he references, you know, stuff like that, like cutting room floor. So not in my movie, and we left them on the cutting room floor. Shit. I thought that was in the beginning of four when he's messing with the two girls.
Maybe. Like, I'll revisit. Yeah. Shit.
This is a horror movie. He's telling her this is a horror movie, you know. She's like, this isn't funny. And he's like, I left her on the cutting room floor. So
I think
it's a brutal line where, you know, he's telling her, I already killed your friend, pretty much.
Fuck yeah. Miss Kruger?
Well, I'm kind of torn, because I do love Stuart saying, you know, I'm feeling a little woozy here, and you know, him saying my mom and dad are going to be so mad at me. But the fucking top line for me in the whole franchise is, no, you listen, you little bitch. If you hang up on me again, I'll gut you like a fish. Do you understand? That's the fucking, I love that shit.
The look on her face after that line.
Yeah.
Well, I have nothing to say. Those are my two, too, Kruger. The still woozy and, got you like a fish.
Yeah. So
when he got hit by the phone, wasn't that improvised?
That was
improvised.
That's my favorite line throughout the whole series. Like, ow, you fucking hit with the phone, dick. Like, it's amazing. And then my favorite Ghostface line is, besides, well, I'll cut you like a fish, is, you want to die just like your mother? Your mother sure didn't. I'm like, dude. Oh,
yeah, that's a good
one. Cold blooded.
Fucking
A. No, or but, movies don't make psychos.
Movies make psychos more creative. Fuck yeah. Like this movie, this franchise the first one.
Yeah, especially the first.
Filled with fucking quotable lines.
Yeah. Movies don't create psychos. They make psychos more creative.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Randy, like, you're telling me that's not a serial killer? How funny was that in the first one? It's like the werewolf movie with E.T.'s mom. Todd, you've got those howling questions.
Yeah. You know, and it's like the also the line, I can't remember exactly. I can't remember verbatim, but, you know, how tasteless he's hanging out in the horror section after.
Yeah, how tasteless. You know? And then, what is what's her name say? Tatum, what is this from a Wes Carpenter movie? Yes.
So, cut, Casper. That's a wrap.
You're right. The first one is just, they all are, but the first one is totally filled with them.
Yeah, I'm fucking, I just want to sit here and start quoting the movie.
Yeah. Well, do we want to jump to the next one?
Let's move on.
I think it's everything's going to lean towards one, is my opinion.
We'll see.
Okay, so, all right, the big one, Randy versus Kirby. And remember, I don't know what your criteria is, Pug, so.
Okay. Let's go with Chris first.
I mean, it's pretty obvious. I'd like to see more of Kirby before I compared him. I think she's an honorable mention, but Randy helped him through all three movies, you know, even after post-mortem, after his death, he sent his videotape. So
very fucking
Randy.
True. I still think that part's corny in three, but
I know I do, but I mean, he was there in all three.
Yeah, he was
giving him the rules of a trilogy or whatever, but yeah, we all felt like we were him, the ones of us that grew up on horror movies and stuff. He's the first one on screen to, you know, have as much knowledge as we did.
Dan relates to his kicking an old school character better.
B Dan instead of B Rand? Mr. Krueger?
I'm Randy, even though I do love Kirby. Randy is the shit. And Randy also, my main reason for picking him is the second he's with the killers, he's fucking suspect as shit. Like, he already fucking figures that shit out in the first scene, to be honest with you. Yeah. So, you know, he's mastering, yeah, like Chris said, fucking him being in all three. And even though it is hokey as shit, I did enjoy seeing him come back in three. Yeah. And
his death was shocking. Scene. Still shocked me. Didn't see it coming.
Yeah.
Yeah, and two, yeah, definitely not. And it was kind of made me say, to be honest, with Kirby and four, it actually made me miss fucking Randy even more.
Yeah.
The two,
and do you think Kirby will come back and be the killer? You think he'll come back and, you know,
that would be cool as shit.
Be one of the final girls or something.
We shall see. Hopefully,
she was left undetermined.
I added at the bottom of the list. Scream 5 discussion, because we didn't have it on there. We just got a release date, too, so we'll talk about that at the end.
Okay.
Do you know it by heart yet, Pugs? Is it already on your calendar?
No, because the Justice League stuff came out today. I think it's February.
It's January.
January? Okay. I know it's 13th. You know what? I'm not even going to do it. But Justice League, Zack Snyder cut, March. And then we get Scream in January 2022. So. Todd, you want to go on Kirby versus Randy?
I'm Randy too. I'm not going to hold his later work against him.
All right.
Taking the old school. It's the drizzling shits.
It's no Malibu's Most Wanted. I will agree.
So, I do like Randy. He worked in a video store and he survived two movies. And he's in the third one. Kirby, hot as fuck, minus that boy cut hair. But whatever.
That boycott.
Yeah. But I liked her a lot, and she just seemed tougher than Randy.
She's not as goofy.
Does she have more knowledge, though? Because really, like, in the one
she was alive later, so she had more time to watch movies, so probably.
I mean, she names a lot of movies, but Randy actually breaks them down and tells you what, you know, what not to do in the first one, what the rules of a sequel and this, you know. So does she have that much knowledge, or does she just watch a ton of movies? That's what I thought about when you guys put this question on the list. I'm like, I like her.
Yeah, I would think she would know more at this point than, fuck, Randy went to fucking college that too.
Well,
But she had more access being a younger kid and, like, you know.
More movies, more DVDs, and more.
Yeah.
Well, okay. I don't think Randy could have done the rules to a reboot.
Boom.
Very true.
Well, I'm going to go with Kirby just because, like, she's not, she might not be dead. And I really hope
she is way more talkable.
And yes.
Is Little Pugs voting on this one?
He helped.
He helped.
Yeah. But yeah, I take nothing away from Randy, but I think I would like to see more from Kirby, so I'm giving it to Kirby. But Randy did work at a video store, so fucking props to him.
Yeah.
That's the best job, and I wish that would come back. So next, the TV show?
Yep.
Which I did not finish. I saw the first season, but Kruger, I know you're all about this whole series, so I will let you take lead on this.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I fucking love this shit, this series. Not the third season, to be fair, but I do love the first two seasons and the hour and a half movie we got. Just cast of likable characters, twists I didn't see coming. Really good fucking performances. There's amazing kills in that series. They don't hold back on the gore, like, at all. I love the shit out of it. I know to be fair, and I will say this, you know, because I know a lot of people don't dig the series, and I can understand why. It is a little teen drama-ish.
It's very MTV.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the thing that got me with it was I was okay with putting up with the bullshit, the grassy MTV bullshit, because I got these amazing kills at the end of the fucking episode. So then, you know, just as any fucking series, to be honest, when you're dealing with characters for two seasons, you're going to start to feel for them. And I really did, especially by that second season. There's a really big fucking curveball they throw at you at the end of season two, where or at the end of season one, where you're just like, what the fuck? I need to watch season two right now. And like, that was what it was for me. I didn't watch it upon release, though. That being said, watch season three, which is Scream Resurrection, I believe it's fucking called.
It has a subtitle, but yeah.
It's like set in the 90s, right?
Scream in the Hood, Bayou. Well, we'll go with that.
Scream in the Bayou.
Scream in the Hood. I honestly, it may have taken place in the 90s, but if it did, it didn't really, you know, go hard in on that aspect. And it's not good. They bring back the Ghostface Killer, which is cool. And I was all for it because the one thing that turned off a lot of people on the Scream series on MTV was it wasn't the same Ghostface Killer. It was a completely new mask.
That mask was cool.
I can't remember.
Based on Brandon James. Yeah.
Yes. And I actually enjoyed that aspect, but you know, season three got me excited because I was like, okay, Ghostface is back. Fuck yeah. Let's go into it. And then we got the series and it's just six episodes of fucking teen drama that's really not that good, kind of goes into a very, very predictable fucking area, and it's just not, to be honest, I would skip it by all accords. But overall, Scream series, season one and two, and the movie, I highly recommend, but it's not going to be for anybody. I think it probably will appeal to a younger audience, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I actually was disappointed when it came back because I would have rather had the Scream mask in the first two seasons than the last one. I don't hate the last one. There's some likable characters. It's not the greatest at all. The first two were good. I kind of wanted more of that versus what we got in the third. I don't hate the third one, but I'm not going to go rewatch it anytime soon, even at six episodes.
Chris, have you seen them?
I've seen all three. And I agree with you guys on one and two and three and the difference. I like that the first two seasons were longer. I guess, you know, we got to put up with the MTV and the teen romance stuff. But they did a good job of leaving you. I mean, I watched them on Netflix, so there was really no cliffhanger. You could start the next episode immediately. But the end of each episode was, oh, man. So they had, what was it, 10 episodes? 13?
20, I believe 29 total. So
12,
and then the movie, and then the six.
Right. Okay. Yeah. You know what? If you're a fan of Scream, kind of like what we say on our podcast, like a remake is like a cover song of your favorite band. This would be a remix. Like all the elements are there. Like if you took one of your favorite songs and someone else remixed it, all the things that you recognize and enjoy is there. So check it out. Yeah, the mask is different, but they have a really good explanation for it. And it's actually linked to a certain character. So,
I love that comparison.
Yeah, I think all the elements are there. If you enjoyed the movies, I think you would enjoy these. You get to, like you said, you get to go with some of these characters over two seasons. So you get to learn a lot about them and really like them and or hate them. So I would say check it out. Even the last one.
Yeah, and like you were just talking about, once you have, you know, that emotional investment upon, you know, two seasons, by the time your favorite characters start getting killed off, you're like, oh, fuck, dude, that shit hurts. Like,
yeah.
That's where I was getting, like, I binged the shit out of it when me and my girl got together, and I just, it was hitting me left and right in the heartstrings, because characters, you know and love will get killed off. They do not give a fuck on that series. No, they're like, no. Oh, you love this person? Fucking ripped out of your soul.
And again, you guys are right. They were brutal. I mean, they were some brutal kills. So yeah, I agree with you.
Well, you guys have just sold me on a revisit. The only reason why I stopped watching is because, as you guys know, we watch a bunch of shit, and I got to cut some shit out to keep up with other things, and that just wasn't cutting it at the time. But
no, all the elements are there, man. It's I think they handled it well. It is a little MTV-esque, obviously, because that's where
I love awkward though. That TV show, that shit was funny.
Yeah, so I didn't mind it. I enjoyed it. It's familiar enough, but it's new enough, so you don't feel like they're just, because Scream has always been a whodunit. You know, it's not one killer. We know it's Jason or Michael or whoever. This could be anybody in the cast of characters in any film or TV show. So that's always been, and they do a good job in all three seasons of a whodunit. So check it out.
All right. So then our next topic is, I believe, the impact it's had on film and the genre. So I will start with three bullet points.
Okay.
It made the mask killer cool again. It made the whodunit cool again. And it made slick and smart teens a thing. Because they're like dumb and like, you know, young, dumb, full of cum. These were smart asses, and I appreciated that. So let's take it with Kruger this time. Impact on the genre.
To me, Scream brought the slasher and the giallo closer together, in my opinion.
I actually have a big discussion on the difference between the two for when we start our gala shows, because we've kind of always had a little thing on that, but I've actually got it better well-defined now, so I'm looking forward to that, but go on.
No, I essentially it has these strong giallo elements to it, with the cops intertwined in the story, the whodunit aspects and stuff like that. And it kind of rewrites the rules on the slasher to where we got these awesome slashers later on, like, fucking Urban Legend, which I am a huge fan of. And even more recently, within the past decade, that movie Famine by Ryan Nicholson, which is totally a slasher, you know, that's based off of the Screen, you know, style. And it definitely rewrote the rules for slasher and gave inspiration for, you know, people to fucking go back into the genre and not be scared, because it made the slasher cool again. And it gave us some really good movies throughout the 90s and early 2000s, like just off the top of my head, like I said, Urban Legend, fucking Cherry Falls, which is another great one.
Valentine.
Valentine.
Final Destination without a killer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's still a slasher, but you know, Looney Tunes.
Yeah, I mean it brought back horror when it was on a downward turn, and then it could actually be smart, and it could
put a little bit of humor in it, a little bit of, you know, some comedy in there, but it never took away from it. You know, it never distracted you. Well, some may say in 3 it got a little, you know, like we said earlier, but overall, I think the impact. Yeah. And watching some of those documentaries and stuff, I just miss Wes Craven, man. He was, and like you guys said earlier, him having 2 huge successes with the Elm Street series and then Scream is just, it's amazing.
I'm going to give him a pass because it seemed like this. We lost our nudity with this film. One of the major slasher elements just disappeared, but I'll let that go. Yeah. But, I know Harvey was pushing for it, but.
He's grabbing for it. You know, the one bad thing it did bring?
What?
The floating head poster.
Oh my God.
Oh, you're right.
And you still see them to this day. The Scream posters are so uninspired.
Yeah.
They're so, you know, when you see fan made posters or artwork, that's great. But every poster since 96, you just have all your people's heads floating and maybe the main character in this, you know, case, it's Ghostface Mask. But,
you know,
awful, awful posters.
Even though I agree with you like 100%, I still have a floating head Scream poster right here. And then just
it was the first. It gets a pass because it was an ensemble cast. I get it.
The poster for Scream 4, though, the knife turning into Ghostface, fucking amazing.
I do want to say
Scream 4M.
Yeah.
You think the next one's going to be Five Cream? Five Cream and Scream 4M.
I think they're going to just call it Scream. I don't think they're going to put another number. I think they're going to pull Halloween. I hope it's Scream 5, though. But we'll get there.
You know, the theatrical poster was not a floating head poster. It wasn't until after. One? Yeah, it was just like the face. And it was kind of like a little bluish.
I had one of those they gave out at the college here at Fresno State. And it got water damaged in a tube. I had it. An original with just the gray looking face on it.
But they had to spice it up a little. They didn't go the right way.
Well, they had a bunch of pretty people to flaunt. It's understandable.
Yeah, they had tons of young, good-looking kids.
Yeah.
It's funny because it gets a reputation of it started like, you know, everyone was doing the meta horror, which it was there. But if you look at a lot of them weren't. Like it rebirthed the slasher. I mean, there's no really meta stuff. And I Know What You Did Last Summer and some of the other ones. I think it does, but it's not as much as people think if you look back on that era. But it's just, slasher was dead and it just brought it back like full force. Thank God.
I also like that it kind of changes, you know, like in the fourth one, we said they've got webcams and live broadcasts. And so the technology in each movie, besides just cell phones, it just, you know, they keep up with that too. So 5 will be really interesting.
I'm looking forward to 5. But yeah, I agree with everyone here. It was a game changer and like its impact.
A lifesaver.
Its impact cannot be like understated. Cause like, when Wes Craven brought out A New Nightmare, which pretty much laid the groundwork for this one, it was ahead of its time. This one, it found its place and it found its audience. So, yeah. And then it turned a lot of people into horror fans. Like 1 year in Halloween, I'm like, where the fuck were all you people? When I'm like, hey, have you guys seen Scream? Or, you know, it's kind of based on Halloween. It looks like this, blah, blah, blah. When I was a young, stupid horror fan.
And released during December when there's nothing, you know, it doesn't come out, so.
And that was a smart move on his part because everyone's like, no, we shouldn't do it. What are horror fans going to watch during Christmas?
That's what he said. It's all family films or maybe occasional action movie. What are people that like scary movies going to watch? Let's do it in December.
Counter programming, smart move. And calling it Scream, also smart move. So, yeah. Uh-oh.
You know the final line, it's funny because it has both titles in there. Gail says both Scary Movie and Scream.
Yeah.
So... It works either way. Either way, that name of the movie was getting dropped in it somehow.
Do the Peter Griffin. Oh. Yeah. They said the name of the movie in the movie.
Awesome. Okay, and now?
I think this is going to be an easy one, but we'll see. Pugs is... let's go.
Uh-oh. I'll go last. So, okay. Never go last? I'll go last. I will let Krueger go first.
Yeah, I mean... It's pretty obvious. It's my fucking name. I have it on my head. Nightmare on Elm Street's my favorite film of all time. Not saying Scream isn't probably one of my top 50 of all time. And I do love it, the shit out of it as a slasher. But Freddy is the man, and he will always be the king of slashers to me. So,
okay. Chris?
I'm going to go with Scream. As much as I love Nightmare on Elm Street, and that first one is a bigger classic or hit than the original Scream, the way they tapered off and got too hokey, you know, they got the jokes and the corny dreams and stuff. Scream overall, I know it has its ups and downs too, but I just think it's more rewatchable, except for the first Nightmare on Elm Street. So I like Scream, and it hasn't finished yet. So
okay,
right. I think they have more. More titles, more good than bad in their sequels or in the whole overall series.
All right. Fuck yeah. And Todd?
Well, Krueger, I got your back. I'm Nightmare on Elm Street 100%. I like Scream, but yeah, Freddy, like my whole childhood was Freddy. So.
And I can't fault any of you. These movies are both fucking amazing. These franchises are fucking amazing. However, I got to go with Scream. I love Freddy. But I think I told you guys earlier in the show, Halloween's my favorite. So anytime there's a white-faced killer, I'm fucking in.
And, same here.
And like this one was more of a serial killer type than the dream stuff. Like, and that's the stuff I gravitate towards.
Would you have rather had his colors reversed so he would have been an all white with a black face?
I want that in a spoof.
But you guys mean series, right? Not. One movie versus movie.
Yeah.
Series, the overall series. Okay, yeah. I'm stick with Scream. I got Pugs back.
Fucking A. Yeah, it's, and like Chris said, it's still going. So yeah, Scream for me.
Okay. Well,
too bad that person who has to stay far away from playgrounds and schools and stuff isn't here to, you know, tiebreaker, but I know he would.
I thought we were talking about Harvey for a minute.
Oh, no. But I know, just like Freddy, you probably side with the children. So.
Yeah. I got a quick question for you guys. I've thought of this a lot. We've tried to do when we're just sitting around, when we're not recording, we try to do like a bracket of like the ultimate final girl. Is Sydney the ultimate final girl just because of so many movies? Not her quality of her character or her smarts. You know, if Laurie Strode was in every Halloween movie and survived, you know what I mean? It's hard to balance them because Sid's been in every movie and survives, but.
You have a good point, actually.
You know what I mean? It's hard to compare them because they are different.
Yeah, no, but like even because like I always say Nancy is the ultimate final girl, right? Because she beats Freddy, but you know, technically she doesn't beat Freddy, but now that you're talking that way, like, you know, Nancy gets killed off. Everybody gets killed off, to be quite frank, or doesn't make another appearance. And Sid is in every single movie. Yeah. I mean, I think that's a fair argument that she's the ultimate final girl.
I have a question.
Well, here, if we're sticking with the ultimate final, or you want to go before I get my thoughts on that?
Is it strictly horror? Because technically, Linda Hamilton and Sigourney Weaver can also be considered final girls in Alien and Terminator.
They both die, though, too.
But they're also like born again hard, like, and they fought. But yeah.
Here's my thing, and Linda Hamilton doesn't die, but that's a hold.
Oh yeah.
My question was, is it just because she's been in so many and survived?
See, that's where I was going
to
go.
Like,
see,
if they just made Scream 1 and we had no sequels, you compared it to Halloween or you compared it to Texas Chainsaw just on what the girls did and how they survived. I don't know. I mean, I don't have the answer. I'm just...
I would say it's a 50-50 with Sid and Nancy because they both kind of beat the shit out of the killer.
And I'm going to give you... I'm Nancy and I'm going to tell you why. She has a better story arc.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's for me. That wins. I get sad when I watch Nancy die in part 3.
I like that she was gone. She wasn't in every sequel. She was gone and came back in part 3.
Sydney kind of annoys me sometimes, though.
She can be a little up on her high horse, but you know, I'm gonna go Sydney.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's one of those ones. I don't have the answer. I just
No,
I want you guys to chime in.
Yeah, I like that question. But she's killed every fucking Ghostface, so.
Yeah, but then again, you know, to back these guys, Nancy's fighting
a dream demon.
He's a demon. He's a, you know, Ghostface is a dude or a girl in a Halloween costume with a knife.
A non-binary person.
Sure. But you know what I mean? It's hard when you're fighting Jason, which is half of his movies, he's supernatural. Freddy's supernatural the whole time, so.
Since I didn't get to say it on our Nightmare on Elm Street show, I'm just going to say it here. Since we're talking about Nightmare on Elm Street a little bit, Johnny Depp does not have good luck with women.
Wow.
Hashtag still love Mandy Lane.
Yep. I'm team herd all the way.
I know.
That hot has to come with some crazy. So. Whatever.
All right. Well,
let's get you in my bed. That's all I'm saying.
Accidents happen.
Yeah.
Okay. So now we have fan film Scream Generations. Krueger, I shall let you go first.
So going into this, like, I actually like, I really like the first, you know, like 8 minutes of it, but it does drag. And it's way too fucking long. I'm sorry, guys, but please don't make your fan film feature length if it, you know, doesn't have that type of production value. And I just didn't find it to that extent. I think it would have did better if it had a lot of the fat trimmed out of it and, you know, was more, you know, around 15 minutes. But that being said, the story was actually pretty well written. And, I did enjoy some of the characters and some of the kills, but for the most, and it kind of, you know, what did remind me of to extent was kind of like Wes Craven's New Nightmare, you know, where the franchise is actually, you know, a part of the story, and it's like, oh, well, it's real life, and somebody's obsessed with the Scream Killer, and he's doing the kills. But it felt way too long for me. And there's a lot of scenes that just drag. So by the end of it, I was kind of just hoping it would end. And that's, you know, never a good sign.
No. Chris?
I agree. You could have trimmed some of the fat out of that. I know it was made in 2012. I wish it looked a little crisper. Like you said, the production values were just a little bit higher. But again, they hit all the marks. They drug it out so far. Fan film should be like under an hour, like 50 minutes max, maybe just a clean hour. Because I did like the people. I liked that, again, it was like New Nightmare. The Scream was fictitious, and there was someone obsessed with the movies. So they had a good idea, but trim the fat out of a little bit, I think. Exactly is what Krueger said. But it was good. It was well done. I enjoyed it.
All right. Todd?
But again, I was waiting for it to end too.
I'm with that also. I give them props for attempting to make a feature length documentary, a fan film with the story. Because as much as I do enjoy, like, you know, Never Hike Alone, the lack of story is what I want more, like, story to it. Which we get here, but I also, yeah, it needs to be shorter. But overall, I did enjoy it. I was surprised because there's a lot more Scream fan films than probably any other genre that costs them super easy.
Yeah.
There's like how many, six, seven stab films, fan films.
Yeah.
There's, you know, swords. There's so many. I think this was a good one to dip our toes in because I am kind of curious about the other ones. I know we talked about the stab ones. Yeah. So
yeah, the stab ones would be interesting, I think, to revisit.
So for me, I think the idea was really cool. The execution was a bit mediocre, but like they can only do so much. So they should have shortened it down a hell of a lot. But like, yeah, I can't take that idea away from it. That was pretty cool. I just wish I liked it more. I do want to see the stab movies, but watching Scream Generations, I'm probably going to take a break from watching fan films that are at least that long.
Yeah. I saw a couple more that popped up too on under YouTube, you know, like some other Scream ones. But after that one being an hour and a half, I'm like, I'm going to wait a little while. Yeah.
I added them to my watch list, but I'm not pulling that trigger for a while.
We talked about trying to watch more of those before the show. We kind of just,
Yeah.
At least it wasn't Voorhees almost clocking in at fucking 2 hours.
Yeah, but like fan films.
This is better than Voorhees by
far. But yeah, I like my fan films like 15 to 20 more.
Well, since we reviewed it in the past, Pugs, I'm going to ask you the other fan film, Murder in the Woods.
Murder in the Woods.
Wait, the one with Danny Trejo.
Oh, is that Murder in the Woods?
Oh, yeah,
you're right. Yeah, that one's better.
Yeah. It's essentially, you know, you're the one who pointed.
I did. I kept comparing it to Scream. That's right. Yeah, Krueger, I think you would like that one a little bit. Not like love it, but yeah, that one, that's how you do it if you're gonna do a fan film. Just throw in the mask.
Be you guys should do an episode on fan films, do the good, bad, and the ugly. This is what you should do. This is okay, you got it, and then this one's like avoid doing this.
We've been talking about doing those because like when we've been doing these retrospective shows, we try to throw in at least one.
Yeah.
So far the Nightmare on Elm Street for me have been
what was the one where it had like Freddy and Jason and Michael. They were all in it.
Oh, I
know. I could only find like part three on YouTube. I couldn't find like the first two.
It's done by the same guy who did those the Tales from Elm Street films.
Okay.
I forgot what it was called, but I saw like three and four, two and three.
Yeah, it has like Pinhead, Leatherface, and everybody in it.
Yes. Yeah. And
they also have some Bride of Chucky ones that look interesting before they were. The doll. There's some of on that channel. There's definitely quite a few more that I'm interested in. There's even some superhero ones for you, Pugs.
Fuck yeah! But there's one when we do Hellraiser. Whenever we do it, there like it's Pinhead's last whatever, or it's like the last Cenobite. Wherever Pinhead had enough. That one's fucking awesome, and I cannot wait to talk to you two guys about it because that one's really cool. I'll find the name and send it over. Yeah, have you seen it?
No, I haven't. Okay. So
I'll look it up and I'll send it to you guys. It's fucking awesome.
And also the guy we're talking about, his YouTube page is Blinky 500.
Yeah,
he's cool. Anything else about the Scream Generations?
What about it?
Nope.
Anything else about it?
Oh no.
That's cool. We spoiler free, so if you guys want to check it out,
yeah. I love the way they used the music was good. I mean, but I think we all agree, just cut it back 30 minutes or so.
I'm not even going to hold the production value against it. It was a fan film, but yeah, they could have 100% trimmed the
fat. Also, less affliction clothing or like affliction looking clothing because that was bothering the shit out of me too.
Bro, I used it back when I was in high school. No. I used to wear that shit all the time, brother.
God damn it.
Yeah, I felt on the. I never check my phone when I'm watching a movie I haven't seen, but this one, the parts where it was dragging, I'm just like trying to, like, come on. You know, I was ready for it to end, but I still enjoyed it.
Yeah,
no, I'm with you.
All right, well. The additional one, and just so you know, it is coming out. I had the damn window open, and now I closed it. It is January 14th, 2022.
Nice.
Hopefully there's still a world to watch a movie.
Yeah, hopefully all the movie theaters haven't been torn down.
You know what? They just wrapped filming today. That's why they announced the thing. What was it? January 14th, 2022? I'm ready. Take my money. And I hope we're alive. I hope we're able to go back to movie theaters too at that point. But if not,
you'll take VOD. We can figure out a group watch at that point.
Yeah.
My biggest thing for Scream 5 is this is being done by Blumhouse, correct?
No,
it's not Blumhouse. Okay.
I don't know. Do they have a part in it? Yeah,
I thought Blumhouse was the one that was doing it.
Oh no,
double checking.
Yeah, please. But I don't think. Well, the writers and directors, they are diehard Happy Death Day guys, right?
Yeah. Here we go. In 2019, Blumhouse expressed interest in reviving the franchise. Later that year, Spyglass Media Group took over the rights of the franchise. The ball for Scream 5 has been rolling ever since. I know it's basically in Paramount's hands now.
Okay. I hope. They keep the brutality aspect for sure.
I think they're going to up it, dude.
Yeah, I hope so, to be honest with you. But I don't know. Like, the biggest thing, I just hope they don't be super lame and make this a PG-13 horror film. As long as we don't get to that era or that area, then I will be perfectly fine with anything they put out.
I agree. They need
to kill off the three. That's my whole thoughts on this.
At least one of these motherfuckers. You know what would be awesome? If they took them all out, opening scene.
Kill David Arquette's fucking bitch.
I'm going to say David Arquette's
the killer. Dewey in part one and two. I mean, that guy gets hacked up like a He's Christmas a ham, dude. He gets like in part two when they're in the sound studio, the recording studio, and he's, I mean, how this guy survives is beyond me, but you his character.
Doesn't he have a gimp hand now?
Yes, he did, didn't he?
No, it was in two, and then he had nerve surgery, and number three, he was walking better.
Better, yeah. And four, he's like a buff, like I'm the town sheriff. It didn't make
and now
any
I
sense.
Think he's chief. So like he has a desk job, but he's still law enforcement.
Here's my thing. I think, yeah, don't kill Dewey. Just kill Gale and Sydney. Opening scene, that is the perfect way to do it.
I want to know how they got her back to, because like I'm pretty sure she's protective of Sydney. So I like something in my gut's like, they're not gonna do it. But hopefully they convinced her. Like, you know what'd be good? Take one for the team.
Yeah.
Fucking throw everybody for a loop, and then you don't have to do them anymore.
I love it. If it makes enough money, they'll do another one, no matter who dies or doesn't die.
And no. I want Kirby back. I hope she's okay.
Yeah.
Like
Kirby and Stu can be the killers.
I think they purposely left it, you know, like that, like not confirmed dead or confirmed alive.
But like I do my best to avoid casting news, but I haven't seen her name pop up, which doesn't mean she's not there.
Oh no, they totally hide that shit.
They hide all of it. They try to. We don't care about. Yeah, they only release major names.
I'm gonna give a slight casting spoiler here. Randy's sister was seen at the beach with those two.
Yeah,
and
Wiener dog.
Yeah, and then some other people were there too. So I'm like, and I don't want to know this information, but it like pops up in the fucking headline. Like, please don't do that. But like, I can't help but get excited. I am so excited for Scream 5. I hope it's awesome.
Hopefully we're back in theaters. If not, we have to do like a backyard on a projector or something.
That'd be fun. Hell yeah.
It'd be cold, but it'd be fun.
Yeah. And I really want it to be mean. Like, Halloween 2018 mean that would
fuck
be fine.
Yeah.
Four, and then, like you said, four was mean.
Yeah, we get meaner. Like, do it for Wes. He deserves it.
Is Kevin back writing or is it someone else?
No, it's the Happy Death Day guys. They wrote it and directed it. And then
I really like Happy Death Day. Yeah, I do like the first. The second one's more of a sci-fi movie, but even at that, I still enjoy it. So. I have faith in them.
Yeah.
I'm like Pugs. I want to read stuff on it, but they don't give you a warning, so I don't want to. You know, until I see a trailer or something, I don't want to get something ruined for me by clicking on a headline or a link or something.
I want to avoid those too because the trailer we got for Halloween when they moved dates with it's just Jamie and her kid screaming on the back of the truck. That is all I fucking needed because I'm like, this is like Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and I'm hard as a rock. Let's fucking get this movie going. So, dude,
the one thing I do want to see make a return, though, you know what I loved about Scream 4 is the Scarecrow mask, and I think he had maybe one other mask in that movie. I can't remember, but fucking, I would like to see different versions of the Scream mask. You know, just fucking put the motherfucker in the glow in the dark mask real quick.
Fucking genius.
That would be great.
And then I get to buy toys and figures, and I want it. So.
if I don't know if anybody else plays Dead by Daylight, but in that video game as Ghostface, they have like a bunch of different Ghostface masks.
The variants. Yeah.
There's a little devil one, and you know, like a metallic silver one that looks like a ghoul with teeth. It's super cool. So I would like to see something like that integrated into this movie.
Me too.
What if we saw two Ghostface on screen at the same time? They've never done that before.
I haven't seen it yet.
But we're used to two killers by now. I mean,
I just want to see them fucking split some bitch open, just start ripping their guts out, just both of them on each side. Just
fuck yeah,
some guard shit.
Shit, yeah, that'd be a Yeah, I just want it to be super fucking, I just want it to be good. Overall, like,
yeah.
I want it gory, but, like, I want it to be good, and, like, yeah, this fits in the Scream. And I want number three to still be, like, you know, the least popular. Or two and three to be least popular.
Because it's going to be the first one without Wes, obviously, so that's, I mean, that's a big hurdle.
Yeah, it's big shoes to fill. But yeah,
absolutely.
I just think this year, man, slashers have just been so good that I'm, you know, I have high hopes. I have very high hopes. And I think anybody that's working in the, well, not anybody, that's a little bit of a stretch, but a lot of the people that are working in the slasher genre, I mean, there's so much homework you can do at this point that, like, you can make a fucking goddamn killer bitch in slasher movie if you really want to. So I have high hopes.
The thing we have on our side is that every time the world is pissed off, we get some hardcore shit. Cause like we got,
fuck yeah,
we got Texas Chainsaw after Vietnam. We got The Hills Have Eyes remake, which is mean as fuck after 9/11. So I Scream, Ghostface, come on, give it to us. We need it. So be fucked up. All right. So that's Scream 5.
You know what we didn't touch upon?
What's that? Favorite Ghostface? Number 3. Oh, scary movie.
Yeah, the first one. I mean, it's, you know, parody of the franchise.
I love that movie, but Scream 2 is my shit.
I am with you. I love Scream 2. But, I mean, the first one, it does a good job of parodying the film.
100%. My favorite scene in that whole movie is, what are you waiting for, huh? And the guy's on top. What am I waiting for? Fuck you. And he jumps up out of school.
Yeah, it's great. Scary movie. Growing up was a big deal, especially, you know, with just being a kid, like everybody watched the scary movies. Yeah. And dude, I like the first one's good, but I'm more of a 2 and 3 guy myself. Like just 2 with the nasty ass hand, like dude, the shit with the mashed potatoes when he's fucking mixing up the mashed potatoes.
Who did I always call that at wrestling? It was fucking Buddy Royal's tag team partner.
I know who you're talking about. Yeah, yeah.
We're just like Chris Elliott.
Fucking.
But no, I know. Classic Connection. I can't think of the other one's name.
I don't remember. But,
you will when I send you the.
Okay. Also the reveal of the killer in Scary Movie when they just take fucking Usual Suspects, like that's awesome, and look how that shit turned out. Yeah, and then there's also Shriek, if you know what I did last Friday the 13th. There's a bunch of spoofs on there, but
there's a whole bunch of them. Yeah, Disaster Movie and all those other, yeah, there's a ton of them. Yeah. Date Movie or whatever,
and Dan Helsing.
You say Dan Helsing?
Stan Helsing, yeah. That was another one, yeah.
But, you know, I could also bitch about kind of ruining the parody, but not in the first three. It wasn't until after that where all of a sudden we're just seeing scenes of other movies without any jokes in them. So.
Yeah, they were just recreating.
Yeah. I mean, there was a perfect opportunity in the Eminem freestyle thing that was totally wasted, but that's a whole nother show.
So, they started cramming too much in each one.
Yeah.
So, I was gonna say. Any more like one-liners? Like fucking Stu. Like when Billy tells him when Gail comes back. What is it? I thought you said she was dead. She looked dead, man. Still does.
Still does.
Yeah. Like out of all of them, the first movie is clearly the best, and like the rewatchability is just through the roof. So.
Yeah, it's especially on this rewatch, you know, Scream's always like, I love Scream, but it's, you know, it's not top 4, you know, favorite slashers for me. But that first one, man, I mean, that can go against some fucking really good slashers in my head. So, yeah, first one's an absolute masterpiece. And like you said, rewatchability and just like any, like that's such a good movie to watch with a group of people.
Oh, yeah.
in my opinion. Like, just watching Scream with the family is like always good because everybody, you know, understands the movie references, and it's just a great fucking film.
I remember bringing the screener home and showing a bunch of people who hadn't seen it, and that being a
fun.
I miss video store screeners, but that's.
I'm also really glad, like, no one ruined the ending for me, because like now it's a big thing. So
yeah,
So, final thoughts, Chris?
No, I agree. Everything you guys said, you know. I'm glad I saw it in the theater. I think I saw it the first week. Yeah. I think I saw Beavis and Butthead do America on Christmas Day. And then the following week saw Scream. But I saw it like 3 times in the theater. So
yeah. I think I saw it twice in the theater, and then after I was like, man, I can't wait to own this. Oh yeah, I did, because I told my buddy who hadn't seen it, I'm like, oh, we should go. And then, you know, we had to have my grandmother buy us tickets because I was too young.
It was all those things. There was no internet. So, you know, you tell a couple friends and then took them to see it. And they wanted to see it again and got a couple more friends. So I think we said like 3 times, and each time we added 2 or 3 more people with us.
Yeah.
Awesome.
It's awesome.
Yeah. So.
All right. Well, this was a great Dan-free episode. I'm going to say that right now.
Yes. Fuck that. Dan pissed me off this one. But yeah, it turned out great. Happy 400, everybody. Chris, thank you for coming on for our 400.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. It was fun. Yeah. It was real fun.
After yesterday's fun. $3.99 episode, Dan wasn't allowed back.
Yeah, he's going to get incarcerated. But Chris, go ahead and plug your podcast and everything that you're involved with.
Yeah, it's Blood Brothers Horror Podcast. You can find us on most podcast suppliers, outlets. Apple, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, any of those. We haven't done anything lately because we're social distancing. We haven't met in person, but we're working on stuff, and we're going to have some YouTube stuff once we can get back together as, you know, people in a group.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And you're on all the social media platforms?
Yes. We're on Instagram, Blood Brothers Horror. We're on Twitter as Blood Bros Horror, and we got a Facebook page, and our website is just Blood Brothers Horror. Good group of people.
Yeah,
degenerates just like you guys. So
yeah, fuck yeah.
You guys have met Allie, but you get along with the rest of them too.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. And then Kruger, do you want to close off today? Since I'm in Dan shoes.
Dan shoes. Yeah. Fucking follow us on all the social media bullshit. Like, share, subscribe this video, and stay sick, motherfuckers.
Peace.
Happy 400. Answer the phone.